Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
And next in our Friday documentary, The 66 Club. Ruth Evans reports from the American state of Colorado about a group of families brought together by the internet and one man's sperm.
Two things that have given me goosebumps was the first time I saw Justin with all of his half-siblings. And since the 3 years ago when he's met them, he's been composing music. And the music that he composes gives me goosebumps too. So it's been a magical past couple of years.
Composing music is a great passion for 18-year-old Justin Senk. And another has been discovering his genetic roots. This teenager from Denver, Colorado, describes himself as an only child who also has brothers and sisters.
It was cool to find that I had half-siblings and just a whole nother sense of family.
Come on, let's go, we're going to be late.
I've been ready for 5 minutes,
right,
I know.
Go, come on, when he's waiting.
Today, Justin and his mother are off to a very special family gathering.
Wait a minute, do you have the keys to the car?
Yeah.
Okay, off to that one we go.
Nederland is a small, picturesque town of log cabins scattered through the forests of the Rocky Mountains.
Hi, y'all. I'm doing all my hugs, because I have to have hugs.
Good to see you, too.
Well, come on in.
Yeah, come on.
We've come to the home of Wendy Kramer and her 18-year-old son, Ryan.
Ryan and Jessica, can you bring out the coffee table?
They're busy preparing for a party out on the wooden deck.
And then we'll bring out the food and set up the food.
Some women belong to book clubs or professional groups. But in this BBC World Service programme, we meet a women's group with a difference. 8 years ago, Wendy and Ryan Kramer set up a website called the Donor Sibling Registry. And this group of American women was brought together on the internet by one man's sperm.
My name is Suzanne Senk, and I live in Denver, Colorado. I'm here today for a barbecue with all of the half-siblings of donor number 66.
Suzanne never met donor 66. His identity was kept secret by the Denver sperm bank she used.
They just gave us some brief information at my doctor's office that his genes will match me and my husband, which is blonde, blue-eyed, and he has 5 years of college, and he was a surgical assistant. And they really said, I think you're going to be happy with this one. And they really pushed number 66, and they said, we've used him before with good results. So everything was so private, so I didn't get much more information.
How did you come across the Donor Sibling Registry?
In 2003, I was watching Oprah, and they started talking about donors, and I was just glued to the TV. And Wendy Kramer and Ryan were on the TV show. So I thought, I got to remember this. You know, we had to agree on a time and place to tell him. Because I had divorced, I wanted to wait until he was mature enough to realize that mommy and daddy still love him equally. I wanted him to understand real clear what reproduction is. So when we told him when he was 15, it worked out good. But it wasn't until after we told him, Justin said, Mom, who was that guy the next day after we told him? And I said, well, just a minute. And I went Google searching for donor sibling registry, and I found it. Well, by that time, I was nervous and on pins and needles. So I called Wendy, and it was so amazing. She said, I found a half-sibling. Oh, my goodness, and her name's Rebecca. I told Justin, and he was, like, flipped out, overjoyed. I got a sister, you know. And then the next day, Wendy called me back, and she said, Suzanne, are you sitting down? She said, Rebecca has a twin sister, Erin, who's also Justin's half-sibling. And then there's this other family, and they have a boy and a girl. And so within a week, we met all of them.
My name's Rebecca, and I'm a junior in college studying Spanish and medicine. I'm 20.
I'm Mackenzie. I just turned 15, and I go to Silver Creek High School, and I'll be a sophomore.
I'm Bree. I'll be in 8th grade, and I'm 13.
My name is Tyler, and I'm studying integrative physiology, and I'm 20 years old.
I'm Erin. I'm 20 years old, and I'm studying early childhood education.
And we all have the same dad.
And they're all blonde, and their features and their hair color and their eyes, everything about them kind of is a similarity. You can see it.
Bad genes, I guess. You're all the males in your family are really tall. On your mom's side?
Yeah. Same as mine.
The way that we all got connected was there was an article in the Denver Post about Ryan and how he and his mom had decided to start the donor sibling registry. My mom read the article and then passed it on to me, and I was really, really excited about it because I had always been a really curious kid and wanted to know as much as possible about the donor or half-siblings or whatever. I got her permission to go onto the donor sibling registry and sign up, and the fifth or sixth entry down was one that looked practically identical to what I had written, but it wasn't mine. It happened to be Tina Gibson, Tyler and Mackenzie's mom. And I emailed her and said, you know, hey, I think your kids and myself and my twin sister might be related. I attached a picture, and a couple of hours later, I got a response. When I saw the picture of Mackenzie, I immediately knew because my half-sister Mackenzie looks more like me to me than my twin sister does.
My name is Tina Gibson, and my two children are Tyler, who's 20, and Mackenzie, who's 15.
Tina was the first of the Donor 66 mothers to post her details on the donor sibling registry. For months, there was no response, and then one day, she received Rebecca's email.
I was shocked. It was a feeling of, oh my God, maybe I don't want to do this. You know, what does this mean for me, for my kids, for their future? I was scared, you know, just the unknown.
And now Mackenzie and Rebecca are inseparable today.
Yeah.
They're sort of sitting there hugging each other, and they look very alike.
I know they do. It's very weird. And as Mackenzie gets older, I've noticed, even in the past few years, she looks more and more like Rebecca. Strange, you know, those genes and how they line up.
The 66 Club is just one group of many, all linked by the double helix of DNA, and who found each other through the donor sibling registry. Perhaps a million American children have now been conceived with donated sperm. Nobody knows the exact figure. Reproductive technology was fraught with ethical questions from the beginning, and these have multiplied as technology has improved and become more common. A decade ago, donor insemination was used almost exclusively by married couples with fertility problems. Today, roughly half of people going to sperm banks are lesbians and single women.
The doctor that I used was one of the very first, kind of a pioneer, if you will, for opening his practice up to single women. Because at that time, single women did not get accepted for sperm donations.
And were you very open with them from the beginning about their origins when they started asking questions about where they'd come from?
You know, I don't think they ever asked questions because I was always telling them.
So there was no shock factor
No.
of finding out later on. And do you think that was the right decision in retrospect?
Yes, I do. I mean, I always knew I was going to tell him the truth and from the beginning, and I did. And now looking back, after reading a lot of these stories on the DSR about people that were told when they were 15, 16, 20, 40, it's their whole identity is shot. They don't even know who they are anymore.
That's good. I brought my homemade carrot cake. I was up at 5 a.m.
You brought it. Wait a minute.
Thinking of you.
Carrot cake?
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's homemade. Make sure you eat it.
I'm Shara Basham. My daughter's Brianna Ziegler, and she is 13. She's the youngest of the Donor 66 siblings and the last one to find out about the others.
Do you want to see my muscles?
Okay.
Ooh.
I found out about the siblings watching 60 Minutes, March 19th of 2006. It was absolutely an epiphany for me when I saw Brianna's brothers and sisters on TV. And they looked just like her, and they acted just like her. Then I was just stunned. Never crossed my mind of brothers and sisters out there.
Shara knew immediately that she'd have to tell Brianna, even though she'd been advised by the clinic not to. They flew to Colorado to meet the Donor 66 half-siblings, spent Christmas with them, and then even decided to move back to Denver from Pittsburgh to be close to them.
When I found out about her brothers and sisters, it was a void, you know, instantly filled. She had five brothers and sisters, just boom.
And what about your other connection with the other mothers? Is that important to you?
Oh, yeah. It's just like a family get-together. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
It even like chokes me up. Sometimes I look at them and think that they wouldn't know each other. Like now here's a family where there was none, and that's pretty cool.
Since launching the website, Wendy and her son Ryan have been responsible for bringing thousands of donor-conceived children together with their half-siblings.
Literally every single day people are matching on the website, and I get to hear the most amazing stories. And some of these families are from different socioeconomic, religious, political, sexual orientation. So different kind of families coming together. Sometimes it can be a little bit challenging, but it's also really very heartwarming to hear the possibility of all these different types of people coming together, honoring their children's curiosity, putting it first and foremost, and honoring their right to connect with their biological family.
In most countries, adopted children now have the right to know their genetic origins, but donor children don't. Now there's a whole generation of donor-conceived children like Ryan reaching adulthood, and they're looking for answers and demanding accountability.
The way I always described it was feeling that there were parts of myself, physically and emotionally and mentally and intellectually, that I could see that very distinctly came from my maternal side of the family. But then there was this whole other half of me that came from origins unknown. After repeated attempts of contacting California Cryobank to no avail, they have very strict privacy policies and that sort of thing, I became very curious about my donor and my half-siblings, and I wanted to see if there was any other way that I could get in touch with them. So we started this very small Yahoo group, and it was slow at first, but as we started to do more and more media and the website got more attention, it sort of grew and grew and has sort of snowballed into what it is today.
This is Anna.
Anna.
And she has green eyes, actually.
Well, that is wonderful.
And then this is
just
Ryan.
Last year, I was able to get in contact with the first half-sibling that I was able to meet face-to-face. And her name is Anna, and she's 3 years younger than me. Just by a crazy coincidence, we share the same birthday. We met them last year, and it's been just an absolute joy getting to know them and establish this relationship. And, just getting to see her face and her mannerisms and the way she talks or walks, and see how all these things are very similar, that very obviously come from our genetics. These people share half of my DNA, and no matter how many of them are out there, I'm always going to be curious about meeting them.
Yeah, you need a brother now.
Have you
Ryan got two new sisters on Friday.
After Oprah.
Oh my gosh!
And then this is Ryan's new 12-year-old sister. And these are old. We don't have a current picture of this 16-year-old.
We were just on the Oprah Winfrey show a couple of days ago. And usually from that, there are so many viewers that we get a large influx of members to our website. So we were busy dealing with all of the new people signing up who had just heard about the registry from the show. And sure enough, one of them was from California Cryobank number 1058, same as me. And I can add two more half-siblings to the ever-growing list.
How many half-siblings have you been able to trace through the registry yourself?
I'm aware of the existence of 7 half-siblings, all of them sisters so far, but we know through information that the California Cryobank sort of inadvertently released that I have a minimum of about 10 and a maximum of about 25 or so.
25? As many as that?
Yeah, there's certainly more out there. I can't say exactly for sure how many, but certainly more. And I'm actually one of the people on our website with a relatively small number of half-siblings. We've got families who have 20 or 30 or, but certainly more. So it's really something that none of us had ever expected to come up the website to see exactly how unregulated and untracked the industry really is.
Okay, I haven't been on the site for a few hours. Let's see if we've made any matches while I haven't been paying attention.
Wendy slips away from her guests for a few minutes to check the website. All the DSR work is done voluntarily in her spare time.
We have another new match today. This person here that matched came onto the site, and they already have 7 siblings. So that's pretty exciting.
There are now over 21,000 parents, children, and donors registered with the DSR, and some 5,500 matches have been made all over the world.
We've matched people from Denmark, England, Canada, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Finland, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Israel, Korea, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, Sweden, and Switzerland.
That's quite a list.
Well, a lot of these people purchase their sperm from the U.S., some not. I know, for example, two families from Australia both signed up using their local clinics and sperm and happened to match up on our website anyway. So we really are serving the entire world of donor families.
And more than 700 donors have also registered, curious about their offspring.
The situation we're seeing quite often now is guys who donated when they were 18 or 19 years old as a way to pay tuition money or beer money, things like that. And they never really gave it a second thought. But then as they sort of reach middle age, the donors become as curious as the kids are about any, you know, potential offspring that they might have fathered.
So far, donor 66 hasn't come forward, but Justin and his mother Suzanne hope one day perhaps he might.
I think it would just be really fun to get to meet him if he chooses to. And if he doesn't, I totally understand. That was the agreement. I think the kids, even if they could just see some of him, you know, like a picture or something would be nice. But we don't have that.
If he chooses to remain anonymous, that's completely okay by me. However, if he did speak up, I'd be really happy just to meet him.
I don't really care if he comes forward because I had a dad and I still have a dad, and I think that definitely contributes to it.
For me, either way would be okay.
I completely agree with Tyler. I could go either way. It doesn't matter if he does or doesn't. I'm happy where I am.
All donor-conceived people are going to feel differently about their situation. There are kids who are told that they're donor-conceived but never feel any curiosity about it. They maybe have a two-parent household, and just some people can go their whole lives and never give it a second thought. And then there's the other end of the spectrum. There are kids who, like I mentioned before, feel that a part of their identity is missing and they desperately need to know their genetic background.
Do you think it's your right to know?
Absolutely, I do, and I feel very strongly about that. And the argument that comes up a lot is, well, we have to protect the privacy of the donors. What I always felt was the donors, they signed a contract, and you know, they made the decision to make themselves available in that way. But the children who are being born, they never signed an agreement, they never agreed to anything. So I think we owe it to these children who don't get any say in the matter, we owe it to them to be able to answer any questions that arise. And I think if it's a case of the donors' right to remain anonymous versus a child's right to know their genetic origin, that the child's right always trumps the donor's.
It's not black and white. There's so many gray areas as we, all of us in the donor families, maneuver through this uncharted territory. A lot of these donors are told that the sperm banks limit the offspring to 10. And I'm shaking my head saying, no. They're not limiting because they don't keep track of who's born. How can you limit when you don't know how many kids are born? We have one donor number on the website that has 105 children listed under it. So there are 105 children, and the sperm bank continues to sell this donor sperm. And they have been notified that there are 105 children. And they continue to sell the sperm. Obviously, this is a big money maker for them, with no thought of the consequence for the families.
In addition to matching half-siblings to each other and sometimes to their donors, the DSR has also become a source of medical information for families with donor-conceived children.
What a lot of groups are finding are that there are certain genetic conditions, and autism is something we're not really sure if it's a genetic condition. But autism is one of the things that in these larger groups, there seems to be a high level, maybe disproportionate to the normal population of autism, you know, within these donor groups. And for women who are coming to the sperm bank and choosing donor sperm, there's no way for them to know whether or not the donor they're thinking about using already has 10 kids out there and 5 of them have been diagnosed with autism, unless they come to the donor sibling registry. And we've made a listing of clinics and sperm banks so that people can actually see what other stories people have that have already used the sperm banks, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So this mustn't be very popular with the sperm banks themselves.
No, probably not, because I'm airing all of their dirty laundry. As these stories air, you know, they're not looking so good. And people are now becoming more and more aware of the repercussions of no regulation in any way.
The money that is being made in most cases can't justify these kids that are being brought into the world with unanswered questions. We're sort of ignoring this responsibility that we have to these children who have no say. And as they come of age, many of them will and do feel the same way that I do, that there's moral and social implications to look at as well.
When you started all this, did you have any idea of the Pandora's box you would be opening?
No, I had no idea. All I knew is that I had a curious child and I wanted to help him answer his questions. We had absolutely no clue that this would happen.
But the Donor 66 mothers and kids who found each other so far through the DSR are glad that it did.
I'm just so thrilled for Wendy and Ryan starting the registry. Let's get, you know, kind of a moral compass on this and collect the information and have the clinics make better decisions, be a little bit more responsible.
There are so many unknowns about this, and this is very much a guinea pig generation. Everyone is learning as they go along with this generation, aren't they? What is, in your mind, the biggest issue or the thing that really needs to be addressed?
Well, obviously, I'm glad Justin is aware that he came from a donor first and foremost, and therefore, if he ever gets married, he needs to make sure he's not related to his spouse. That's pretty much number one.
And that's a very strong possibility, isn't it? Yeah. If you all live in the local area, the chances of people meeting and possibly being attracted because they're so similar, then that is a very real possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
Justin lives now 5 blocks from where Aaron and I were born. Tyler was born within a couple of miles of where Aaron and I went to high school. So it's entirely possible that we could have met and not known, and Justin's mom and dad didn't tell him until he was 15. We could have met and not known that we were related.
And what about the future? Do you think that you will stay together as a group? Do you think this contact will be maintained now and as you grow and have your own families? Is this something that is important for you to maintain?
I would say yes, because like we've gotten to know each other. We've got a connection now.
One of the things that Justin said the first time that we met was, it's not every day you meet someone that you know you're going to know for the rest of your life. And that's how it is. We're family.
They're great kids. They're people I'd choose as friends, even if they weren't my siblings. So I'm really glad to have a sense of a larger family.
Ready to go, Kenzie? Is everybody coming out?
Love you, Bing.
We'll talk soon.
We will. We must.
Yeah. Aww, thank you so much, and good to see you.
No, thanks for coming.
The 66 Club was presented and produced by Ruth Evans for the BBC World Service.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.